I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 10. Every year I preach a Sanctity of Human Life sermon on the appropriate Sunday. Many churches did so last week. As you know, we had a special event here. You also know, I hope, that the anniversary of Roe versus Wade was this past week, and despite the blizzard in Washington, D.C., many of our like-minded folks, many of our like-minded citizens did march on Washington to protest the ravages of abortion on demand in our land. Again, I'll ask you to turn to Psalm 10 in your Bibles. Children, here are your questions for this morning. Who made you? Two, since God made all people, is it important to respect all human life? Three, do little babies in mommy's tummies matter to God? Four, should God's people make sure they do all they can to keep babies safe? And five, will you pray with your family today for ministries that help care for unborn babies? Psalm 10, this is the word of God. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul. And the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been a helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, you are just, and you do see grave injustice, and nothing escapes your eye. Lord, now as we consider issues of the sanctity of human life, that is a very sobering thought. Lord, we do pray. We do pray for justice. Lord, we do pray that the innocent would be spared. And Lord, as we approach these texts, we will wrestle with some very deep and some very troubling things. But Lord, we know that you will grant grace. And we know that you will help. And we humbly ask that you would speak to us. And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The speech given on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday this past week, in one line, went like this: in America, every single one of us deserves the rights, freedoms, and opportunities to fulfill our dreams. I'll repeat it. In America, every single one of us deserves the right, freedoms, and opportunities to fulfill our dreams. Now, you might think that this was on the life podium for the March for Life in Washington, D.C., but this was President Obama once again promoting the right for a woman, every woman, to abort her baby in our country. Another statement by our president, another pro-abortion declaration. Excuse me. Did he miss something? Did he miss the unborn? Did he miss the fact that the unborn deserve rights, freedoms, and opportunities to fulfill their dreams that they haven't even been able to develop yet? Over 27 years, I've preached many sermons on abortion, on life, from many different angles. I'm weary, but things haven't changed. And so there's not in balance. I've preached on the value of life. I've preached on the seriousness of our national problem. I've preached on the grace of healing for those who need healing, having gone under abortions. I've preached about adoption. I've preached about the implications of a mindset where the sanctity of human life is disregarded, the implications such as euthanasia. This morning I want to focus on the issue of justice. Justice for the unborn. Lives matter. Black lives matter. No one should dispute that. Blue lives matter. In other words, our police force lives matter. Syrian lives matter. Mexican lives matter. Lives matter. Man is made in the image of God. And unless there is some careful due process applied, barring tragic carnage of war, no life should be taken. That includes little babies in the wombs of their mothers, so often forgotten. We live in an often brutal, violent, sinful world. And of all places where life should be safe, it would be in the inner sanctum of a pregnant mother's belly. But that's not true. In our own nation, this past year, we discovered that it's even worse, as yet another level of the twistedness of Planned Parenthood was revealed for our whole nation to see. When you begin to look at the numbers of abortions in our land over the last 43 years, it's so staggering, it's hard for us to believe that they're not numbers, they're actual viable human lives that were never given the opportunity to live. And in our arrogance, mankind, in our nation, and certainly we're not the worst nation in this respect, but in our minds, we have determined, in our arrogance, who is valuable and who's not valuable. Mindy Belts, who writes for World Magazine, writes, "We tend to judge people by value to us. Only the God of the Bible gives value to a person's life from the beginning." And I would suggest that we want to have the mind of God. That is, in fact, the mind of Christ. That is the Christian mindset that the life, by virtue of the fact that God created it in his image, human life, that we value it from the very beginning. That we would think our thoughts after God and hold every human life as sacred. Now, this is not a sermon where we're going to be brought directly to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but I can say this with a 100% certainty that Jesus was 100% pro-life. And I simply cannot imagine what grief he would be bearing if he walked throughout our land today. And I would be shocked to think that he is not grieving and yet at the same time furious with us as a nation for the way that we've behaved with regard to innocent human life. So let's think for just a moment about the sanctity of human life in some very simple ways according to the Bible, the image of God. That's how we are made. This is what the Bible says about babies. The Bible teaches us that God made Adam and Eve, and that from them come all offspring. So if Adam and Eve were created in the image of God and precious in his sight, so are all their offspring. Very simple verses. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. It's very simple. The commands, you shall not murder. And the other commands attached to that. What God says in Genesis 9, verses 5 to 6, and for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning from every beast. I will require it and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Creation, law, and then simple, simple beauty. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. We get windows into the womb in Scripture. We get God's perspective in the womb from Scripture. You might say that God does not need an ultrasound. Children, an ultrasound is, if you don't know, when there's a pregnant mommy and they want to know what's going on in that belly, they can take a little gadget and place it on the mommy's belly and actually see the baby inside, alive in the mother's womb. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. My oldest daughter is 26 years old. When we were having her, we had an ultrasound, and we could see her in her mom's womb, and we could see her moving. But 26 years ago, ultrasounds were a little sketchy. It was hard to make out, but we have a picture of her right before she was born, and it's a very clear X-ray. Amazing things you can see in the womb. Years later, when my youngest, Thano, was about to be born, we had an ultrasound, and they had advanced so far that we had a crystal clear picture of little baby Thano still in his mommy's tummy. Ultrasounds are amazing things. That was 11 years ago. They've come a long way even since then. But God has always seen very clearly into the womb. Just one little part of Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Now, it's hard sometimes to know how to apply things like Psalm 139, but certainly we get there a clear picture that life in the womb is being formed in full view and by the hand of God. Prophet Jeremiah is told that God knew him even before he was born. And there are other texts as well. Well, because that is true, it's up to us to preserve human life. But we've seen perversion of that. In our own nation, rightly so, there is a very complicated and careful process in states where there is the death penalty. God forbid that we would make a mistake putting someone to death for a crime that they didn't do. It's a painstaking process, and it should be, but does it strike you at all ironic that there's no such process for a little baby in the womb, that a mother can terminate that birth at will and with some money? The onus, the weight of the burden is on mankind to preserve life. Our government is established to protect and preserve life. And when we don't as a government, we are guilty. And so our government stands guilty, and the people of our land stand guilty. We are supposed to protect life. Now, we are far more advanced than a lot of nations, but we've always claimed to be a nation that protects the rights of individuals and people groups, and we've blown it many times. Think about how we treated the Native Americans and how we've dealt with ethnicities through the ages and how slavery was such a heinous thing in our land, especially the way we approached it, or so many approached it, and how it took so long for women's suffrage and things like that, and how we once had segregation, and how we had discrimination, and how we had to fight for civil rights, and all those things needed to happen, and we made tremendous progress in those areas. Thank the Lord for that. But the very reverse took place when it comes to innocent human lives in the womb. It defies what we say we stand for. Read a couple of our own statements. We've made great strides. We love our country. It's a great experiment. We have some great statements, but we also have some miserable failures. Our Declaration of Independence, 1776. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. We've denied those rights, those fundamental rights to the unborn. And further, we've become a government that has lost its right because of it. Our Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Children, that means our children, that means you. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln presented the Emancipation Proclamation. I take special delight in the fact that the very first thing that up from slavery Booker T. Washington read publicly to a bunch of slaves that had just been set free was the Emancipation Proclamation, which finally set them free from the tyranny, at least some of them free from the tyranny of slavery. But what if we applied that same Emancipation Proclamation to those in the tyranny of the womb where they're threatened in our country. Martin Luther King looked back on the Emancipation Proclamation and he lamented the slowness of change. And we look back 43 years on Roe versus Wade and are we getting tired of the slowness of change? Abortion in our country didn't start in 1973, but abortion on demand did. We've had the problem for many years going back before the Civil War. I've read his famous speech before and again, and I've stolen some words from him, and I've inserted something to do with the unborn, and I won't do it extensively. I've done that in the past. But what if there was a speech like this in the public square? 43 years later, the unborn are still not safe. 43 years later, the life of the unborn is still sadly destroyed by the practices of abortion and the chains of discrimination. 43 years later, etc., etc. Unlike Martin Luther King Jr., I'm afraid that the bank of justice in many ways is bankrupt. His hope was that the bank of justice in our nation was not bankrupt. I'm not so sure. Like Martin Luther King, I agree, as he said, it would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. I'm not as optimistic as Martin Luther King. Maybe I should be. And so I too, you too, could have a dream that this horror would pass and that freedom and liberty for all, including the unborn, would shine from sea to sea and border to border. We've made progress in so many different areas, and yet when we come to the unborn, we come to a screeching halt. Oh, there's been improvement, I suppose. I've heard that. But here's an anecdote. An OBGYN interviewed by World Magazine points this out. The question is asked of her, pro-abortionists complain about pro-life fanatics imposing on women requirements for ultrasound and informed consent. What valid arguments are there against informed consent? Informed consent means that if a woman underage wants to get an abortion, she would have to go to her parents to get approval. This pro-life doctor says there is no valid arguments. Everything we do in medicine has informed consent. Even when my daughters had their ears pierced, I had to sign a consent form. My dog has more rights than young women have. She actually swallowed an entire bone that was puncturing her stomach, so we took her to the vet and saw informed consent forms for surgery. I had to smile thinking that if my daughter had been going in for an abortion, she wouldn't have required my consent in many places. Dogs with more rights, more protection than our daughters, dogs with more rights certainly than the unborn. Well, that's simply anecdotal. On Martin Luther King's memorial, attributed to him is actually a phrase from Amos the prophet. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. May that be true for the unborn. As for our nation, we will give an accounting. God sees, God knows. Individuals will give an accounting and nations will give an accounting. And so we need a real call for justice and mercy. There are many popular calls for justice and mercy, good and appropriate. But failure in this area is an indictment against us. It's a testimony against us. Frederica Matthews Green, writing for National Review, writes this. In time, it's going to be impossible to deny that abortion is violence against children. Future generations, as they look back, are not necessarily going to go easy on ours. Our bland acceptance of abortion is not going to look like an understandable goof. In fact, the kind of hatred that people now level at Nazis and slave owners may well fall upon our era. Future generations can accurately say it's not like they didn't know. They can say, after all, they had sonograms. They may consider this bloodshed to be a form of genocide. They might judge our generation to be monsters. What does God think about all this? What does the Word of God say about justice for the innocent? It's peppered throughout Scripture. We read Psalm 10. There's a cry for justice in Psalm 10 against such evil doing. May that be the cry of God's people. You see, it's Christians who have to be at the forefront. We have to be people of action. We have to speak out. We have to vote. Very simple thing. We've had 8 years of a pro-abortion president who's done all in his power he can possibly do to promote abortion. It's the facts. And now we have an election coming up, and who knows what's going to rise to the surface and what positions people will take. But if life issues are not of utmost concern to us, our priorities are messed up, and we need to rethink. And so we need to speak out, we need to vote, we need to support ministries that are all about protecting life, and we need to engage. We are very closely connected with our pregnancy center. I happen to know that they're in great need of a receptionist right here in Holland to help process things. And so find out what our pregnancy center needs, and maybe you can do something to help them. But there's many things we can do. Last year, I read this quote from Brian Fisher, Pro-Life Online. He says, Christians have to be at the forefront. Abortion is the ultimate tragic and deadly consequence of the fall. It is the sin of unjustly taking the life of an image bearer of God. It is a dire consequence of personal sin and depravity. It's caused by and results in broken and strained marriages, friendships, and commitments, and destroys another created human being. I can think of no worse consequence of the fall than willfully killing a voiceless, defenseless child in the womb. Yet the gospel in its fullness is the remedy to abortion. We must therefore affirm and live out the gospel in its fullness. What does God think of us? What does he think of our church? What does he think of our nation? Including our attitudes and our actions regarding the unborn created in his image. You see, it's what God thinks that matters the most in the end. And he will be the one that we all answer to. Let's pray. Oh Lord, how thankful we are that you are a God of mercy. Because when we reflect on what we deserve, it is ugly. And when we reflect on what we do, it's ugly. And we have a terrible stain on our land. Innocent blood cries out. And we confess our sin before you. And Lord, we know that throughout our nation, there are many women right now carrying babies who are being directed in a way that is tragic. Lord, we pray that many would reach out to them, our pregnancy centers, families, people who care about them and the babies in their wombs, to steer them in the right direction, to choose life. Lord, we also pray that you would open up the minds of our leaders who have been deceived by the evil one into thinking that human life is something that can be casually or by choice, perhaps not casually at all, but intensely, but either way, that by choice can be eliminated. We grieve over this, Lord. We pray that we as a church would be ready to minister to those who are in need, and Lord, to reach out to women who have unexpected pregnancies, who are desperate, that we would be ready to care for them and to provide for them and to protect them. Lord, I can't help but think how thankful we are in our own church for our own pregnant women and how much they already love those little babies. And how just this past week we had a new baby born to our congregation. Lord, we pray for ourselves as individuals. And if there's anyone who's still wounded from having undergone an abortion or participated in an abortion, we pray, Lord, that you would heal and that you would forgive. And that they would draw near to you, even if it's been years ago, that you would give them real solace and peace, knowing that you, by the blood of Christ, forgive sins. And Lord, we pray for us as individuals that we would have a great passion for life. We pray for our pregnancy center. We pray for many pro-life advocates. We pray for Right to Life. And we ask that you would use them to stem the tide of this terrible tragedy in our land. We pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.